Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Pathways, Crossroads, the Desired Destination.
Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 14. Amen. If I happen to drop out, amen, you continue to read the word, and the correlating scripture will be Philippians chapter number 1, verse 2 through 6. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. And again, I'm getting ready to begin a series, and you're going to hear a lot of, amen, sermons in the coming days out of the book of Proverbs, out of the, amen, historic books, out of Ecclesiastes, out of the Psalms, amen, because I believe with all of my heart what God has been saying to us, amen, through our Bible study end times, and what he's been saying to us through, amen, the DNA, amen, redemption in our DNA, the pathway of redemption, and then our Redeemer, amen, is going to cause us to prevail. I believe he's now going to combine that, and he's going to show us how to stay on the pathway, amen, that he's chosen for us. So I believe the books of wisdom, amen, will help us, amen, to do that, all right? So today, amen, I'm going to introduce, amen, a little bit by looking back, amen, into the series that I taught of surviving, overcoming, and conquering. Amen, surviving, overcoming, and conquering. Jeremiah 29, when you have the word, amen, say I have the word. All right, let's read together, and if I drop out, continue to read. Thus saith the Lord.
After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive.
Yes. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 and 11, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years I will be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and I will perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Point I want to lift today, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. In the coming series, I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about pathways. I'm going to talk about crossroads. And I'm going to talk about desired destinations. Right, crossroads, pathways, and desired destination. We understand that God has a desired destination for us, and he says it in verse number 11, I will give to you the expected end. In Philippians chapter number 1, verse 2 through 6, it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests for joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Listen, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He has a destined end for us. He's taking us somewhere. We're not just by chance, happenstance, circumstantially going somewhere. "For the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord." Somebody just go ahead and declare to me, say, "The Lord is taking us to a desired destination." So I want to talk for a few moments about pathways, crossroads, and desired destination. And as I was getting ready to prepare for this message, the Lord said the best way to introduce this is to look back what we talked about in becoming survivors, overcomers, and conquer. So I'm going to lift 3 points from out of that, and it's going to lead us right into the pathway that God would have for us. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Guard us, guide us, instruct us. And then as you speak, Father, we'll follow you where you want us to go. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 32 through 40, we begin to introduce surviving, conquering, and overcoming. This is what the heroes of our faith have done. They have survived. They've overcome. Amen. And they have conquered. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 32, it says, "What shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead and raised to life again. And others was tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, more over the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain. They were sworn. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves and earth. And all these obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." If they overcame all of that, what is it that we can't overcome? If they walk through all of this, that Hebrews 11 and 32, what is so great that we can't conquer? Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say nothing. There's nothing we can't conquer. There's nothing that we can't survive through. Sometimes we say, does anybody see my plight? Yes. Hebrews 11, 32 through 39, it describes the people that sees our plight. So there's nothing that we're going through that we cannot survive. There's nothing that we're going through that we cannot make it through. There's nothing that we're going through that in the end, we are going to be declared the winners. But we got to keep believing. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, we got to keep believing. We must understand the truth that we've survived a whole lot of stuff. Do I have any witness in here? I've survived a whole lot of stuff. Well, sometimes things can be going on and we forget that we are survivors. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't forget that you're a survivor. Don't forget that you are a survivor. Sometimes we got a new trial going on and all of a sudden we forget what we've already survived. But we're not just survivors. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves, I didn't just survive. I overcame a whole lot of stuff that I ain't never had time to tell you about. We're not just survivors, but we're overcomers. We should understand the truth of our surviving at all. We should understand the truth of what we've survived. Truth of the matter is, most of us, the enemy intended for us not to be here. And even if we were here, there'd be somebody standing beside us, holding us, walking us because of the mental state that we're in. There's a whole lot of stuff, and I need y'all to hear me today, Chris. There was a whole lot of stuff we were not supposed to survive. You got to embrace that you are a survivor. We are a survivor. But also we got to embrace that Yahweh is now making us to be overcomers. Thanks be unto God. Amen. It always causes us to triumph. But you are not a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Someone asked, why do I have to go through all of this? Please hear me. You have to go through all of this because in order to be made into a conqueror, you got to conquer some stuff. Are y'all still here? Why are you going through all of this? Because he's making us conquerors. He's making us that when stuff pop off, we ain't running from the fight. When the enemy come in like a flood, we don't throw up our hands and quit. When all kind of things are said about us, we don't respond to what's said about us. He's making us overcomers. Somebody throw your hands up. I say, he's making me an overcomer. You don't realize how tough your skin is until 2-3 folks done talked about you and you ain't said a word back. So he's not just making us survivors. He's not just making us overcomers. Amen. But he's causing us to embrace the fact that I am an overcomer. Somebody tell me real loud, I am an overcomer. We're an overcomer because we have the divine ability, and he gives us divine assistance to run through troops. He gives us divine ability to leap over walls. He's given some of us the ability to fight like David's men fought in David's day, that we can now slay stuff with our right and our left hands. And I'm not talking about natural fights. I'm talking about spiritual fights. Some of us are finally learning that my prayer works when I go into the prayer closet. Some of us are learning that all I need to do is go on a fast and I see a whole lot of stuff falling. Some of us are learning that if I lift up my voice like a trumpet in Zion and I begin to shout real loud, then not only did Joshua Jericho's wall fall, but my walls start to fall. I'm learning. And then I'm a spiritual fighter. He's taught my hands to war, and he's taught my fingers to fight. Some of us are really learning, and I hope y'all can hear me. Some of us are really learning we are a force to be reckoned with. I wish y'all could hear what I was saying. Some of us are finally learning I'm a force to be reckoned with. Some of us are finally learning that the enemy really don't want no parts of us right now. That's why he's picking on your neighbor. Some of us are learning that God has brought us to this place because he's got greater places that he desires to take us. We've survived it all. High five, somebody say, I've survived it all. Somebody say, I've survived it all. So can I say it with a little bit of baritone in your voice? Say, I'm being made into a conqueror. Not only am I being made into a conqueror, I'm learning how to overcome some stuff. Some of you need to hear me. You're overcoming stuff that Daddy never overcame. You are so far beyond the principalities that brought, amen, your family members down by. Many of you under the sound of my voice, you now walking where nobody else in your family has ever been. And I'm glad I heard two hallelujahs. That's something to say hallelujah about. That's why some of y'all family members look at y'all funny, because you got stuff going on that they wish they had going on. And that high place was supposed to take you down. God Almighty. That last enemy that came out, he was supposed to take you back to where they dwell, and you kept on standing. I've survived it. I'm an overcomer. And now I'm learning that I'm more than a conqueror. I feel like preaching, Naomi. I've survived it. I overcame it. And now I'm learning how to be a conqueror. And we understand that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to his purpose. Skip down a couple of other verses. And now, if God be for us, who can be against us? In this series that I taught about surviving, overcoming, about becoming conquerors, I believe with all of my heart, God's intent was to signal us that I'm ready to move you forward. Come on, do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, in every facet of your life, God's ready to advance you forward. Please put a hallelujah on the back of that. You're not brought into survival status, overcoming and conquering status to stay stagnant, to do same old, for it to be business as usual. Whenever God moves you into surviving, overcoming, and conquering status, it's because he's ready to advance you forward. Come on, somebody didn't get it, so tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to help you here. God ready to do some other stuff in your life. God's ready to do some other stuff in your life, because you survived, you overcame, you're now more than a conqueror. It is a signal that God is ready to do some other stuff in our lives. And and I'm going to keep saying it, hopefully to you get that in your mind, because too many of us are still looking in the rearview mirror. Like, you didn't hear what I said. Too many of us, we can't advance forward because we're still looking in the rearview mirror. Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Come on, do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get your head out of that rearview mirror. It's a reason that when the way you look back in your car is only this size, and the way that you look ahead is huge and big. Okay, y'all, some of y'all don't understand what I'm saying. That rearview mirror on your car is only a small portion in comparison to that front window, because God does not want you to spend your days looking at a little small picture. He wants you to get a big picture about where I'm about to take you. I'm about to take you to the north, to the south, and the east, and the west. So stop looking back. Tell your neighbor, stop looking back. Stop looking back. Stop looking back. Stop looking back. I want to tell somebody else, stop looking back. Stop looking back. It's over. It's done with. Ain't got nothing else to say about it. My mind is now on new dreams and new vision. I know it hurt you. I know it disappointed you. I know it let you down. But the God of your salvation, he's able to make all things new. Tell your neighbor, stop looking back. Tell your neighbor, stop looking back. I can hang out right there, but I'm not. Stop looking back. Your best days are not behind you, and I don't care if you 5 years old or you 125. Your best days are ahead of you. God's got some, well, how did you say that in the Tyrant? He got some hidden presence that you didn't know he had hid. But you ain't going to find it looking out of the rearview mirror. Come on, tell your neighbor, you got to get your expectations up. Come on, tell him that's why Pastor Lawrence preaching. You're going to get your expectations hurt. I know you might have had one or two friends that hurt you. But watch what God does with the next friend. You got to get your expectations up. And so he's going to move us forward that we can see this pathway. We can see the crossroads that we got to navigate through, that we can arrive at a divine destination. And so I look back at this series and I ask God, God, highlight to me, what did I need to re-stress for today? And he gave me 3 points that I had made, and then the third one I sort of kind of amended to make it fit more into this message. I'll give them to you, and then I promise you, I'll move on. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I hear the Spirit of God talking to you. Tell them, stop looking back. Now, when your pastor starts preaching like this, this is when you get phone calls from folks that you don't need to answer. Ish, come on, say. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm preaching anyway. When your pastor start preaching like this, this is when you get phone call and they throw stuff at you. I was just thinking about you. Well, don't think about me. This is when you get emails. Can we have lunch? No, we can't have lunch. I can't, oh God, I'm trying to move on, Carl, but help me preach right here. Right now, it's too pivotal. I can't look back. Right now, I can't glance into the rearview mirror. I see pathway. I see crossroads. I see destination just ahead. I see something on the horizon about what I've been dreaming about. Y'all ain't hearing me. I see something on the horizon that could change, amen, the status of my children forever. I see something on the horizon that if I can just stay on the path. So there's 3 things, and I'll leave y'all alone. We good, multimedia? We good? All right, 3 things. Number one. It's found in Hebrews verse 11, verse 32 through 37. Number one, we will accomplish so much more by remaining childlike in faith while displaying maturity in relationships and our fellowship with one another and in matters of business. We got this all twisted up. We trying to be mature in faith and we childlike in business and in relationships and in our fellowship with one another. I knew you were going to be quiet when I said that. That's okay. He said, He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. All right. He says, now in faith, all right. He said, now in faith, he said, I need you to be like a child and I need you to just believe me without any questions. He said, but now in relationships and in fellowship with one another and in business matters, I need you to be mature. Just believe me. And then watch how you act in your relationships with people. Watch how you conduct yourself in your fellowship in the community of believers. Watch how you handle your business matters. He said, because in your these matters, you need to be mature. Number one, we're going to accomplish so much more when God says, I'm getting ready to do something incredible through you, that we just believe it. Because most of the time, God says he's going to do something incredible through us, then we try to go work the work out that he said he was going to do incredibly in us. And then we get frustrated because it ain't happening. He didn't say, you was going to do a great work through you. He said, I was going to do. So when he tells us he's going to do something great, and Lamar, he's going to do something, some great things to us, and it's bigger than we can imagine, and we don't know where the money going to come from. But if he said he's going to do it, all I got to do is get up and go to work every day. God. All I got to do is get up every day and go do my lawyer business. And I ain't got to worry about, do I go out with lunch with this one? And do I need to do that? And do I need to revitalize? And do I need to become a workaholic that now I work myself to death and I ain't got time for church, I ain't got time for Bible study, I ain't got time for fellowship with the people of God, because I'm trying to get this big thing that God said he would do, I'm trying to get it done. Oh, you ain't got to become no workaholic to do the big thing of God. All you have to do is be obedient. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. Can I paraphrase like I'd like to say? He said, if you're willing and obedient, that big thing that I said I was going to do to you, I would do it expeditiously and expediently. And I'll do it through ways you ain't never seen me coming. So we accomplish so much more by remaining childlike in our faith, while displaying maturity in our relationships, our fellowship with one another, and matters of business. Kingdom exploits are accomplished mostly through childlike faith. Y'all need to hear me. Do y'all know what moves mountains? Childlike faith. Check this out. Peter really did not walk on water in faith. So Jesus is walking on water and Peter's walking on water. And when we get to the end of it, Jesus said, why did you doubt? So we look at stuff like, I gotta have some big faith so I can walk on some water. And the truth of the matter is, what you're doing it through doubt. Because he said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain. He says he's going to come to something great through you. All you got to do is hear what he's saying and obey what he said to do. Most of the time, you don't have to figure it out. He tells you. So we have to ask God, God, when I'm not walking in faith and when am I walking in doubt? Kingdom exploits are accomplished through childlike faith. Please hear me. Your childlike faith can move mountains. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, your childlike faith can move mountains. Our childlike faith, it raises valleys. Our childlike faith causes unmovable doors to open wide open. You get a pink slip. Let me help you with what I'm trying to say here. You get a pink slip at your job and they say within 30 days you will no longer be employed here. All right, we're getting ready to shut you down. You can't be employed anymore. You get a pink slip and all of a sudden you're trying to figure, God, where should I get a job? Where should I get a job? And God said, wait. Didn't I put you on this job? Get your resume together and I got you. I'm telling you what I know. And before you can get your resume together, somebody calls you out of the blue. Are you looking for employment? And you're like, what? What you say? This is how God moves, all right? We don't have to figure it out and pull our hair out the higher we got left. We don't have to do all that and get on worries and get on. All we got to do with childlike faith, say, God, you see this. What you going to do about it? I believe you. Now show me a miracle. Childlike faith moves mountains. I'm almost done. It raises up valley. It makes unmovable doors swing wide open. He said, in understanding, be children. Be not children. He said, but in malice, be children. But in understanding, be men. One of the biggest hurdles, I'm going to go to point number two, but you need to hear this. One of the biggest hurdles that must be navigated in order to truly advance into adulthood is learning how to be mature in personal matters.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.